quickly, I'd say that people of goodwill must work together to ensure that extremists of all faiths and background do not accomplish any malevolent goal, and that, you know, we have to come together as a country. CARE is the nation's largest Muslim civil liberties and advocacy organization. We have 28 chapters in 22 states across the country that help empower Muslims, and we also help create mutual understanding between Muslim and non-Muslim communities.
Thank you so much for that. We're so fortunate to have you today. Very many, many thanks on behalf of all of us here at the station. And, of course, listeners, my guest has been the Council on American Islamic Relations Government Affairs Manager, Robert McCaw. Thanks again for that, Robert. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, May 4th, 2015. Kate Welch engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson's the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Gene Ritchie played a huge role in the folk revival in the 1960s, also known as the Great Folk Scare. She influenced many of the performers of folk and roots music who are active today. Some of these musicians came together to record a 2-CD set, Dear Gene, a tribute to Gene Ritchie. I will be featuring selections from Dear Gene, as well as playing selections from her own album. There will be available a very limited number of the Dear Gene CD sets as thank you gifts for your membership contribution. Tune in to Moving On, Friday, May 8th, 12 noon to 1:30, to hear music from one of the most important musicians playing traditional music.
This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Volunteers of America, Oregon, presenting a symposium on diversity, equity, and economic sustainability, May 8 at the Child Center. Keynote speaker Stedman Graham. Tickets and information at volunteersofamericaoregon.org.
This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or wilkincpas.com.
Good morning and welcome to Locus Focus. I'm Barbara Bernstein, your host for this weekly conversation about our place on the planet. Modified jets spewing sulfuric acid could haze the skies over the Arctic in a few years for the price of a Hollywood blockbuster. That's geoengineering, the deliberate large-scale manipulation of the planetary environment. This hazing, which mimics the cooling effects of a volcanic eruption, is so cheap that almost any country or any random billionaire could afford to do it. Thus begins a recent article in Scientific American written by my guest this morning, David Biello, who's the Associate Editor for Environment and Energy at Scientific American. This morning, we'll talk with David about the challenges, pitfalls, and unintended consequences of relying on geoengineering to solve our carbon emission problems. David, welcome to Locus Focus.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the first time that I ever talked to anybody about geoengineering was a few years ago. I was having a conversation with Stuart Brand, who was the founder of the Whole Earth Catalog. And by that time, he was a self-proclaimed futurist. And he was telling me the only solutions that we could have for climate change were geoengineering and converting all of our coal-fired power plants to nuclear reactors.
To nuclear reactors. Well, fortunately, we do have a few more solutions in the toolkit than that, but certainly nuclear reactors emit less CO2 than coal-fired power plants currently, and geoengineering is this idea that in the way that we're kind of unconsciously experimenting with the atmosphere by putting all that CO2 out there, we might consciously experiment with the atmosphere by doing things like mimicking volcanoes, like you said.
Right. Well, before we get into talking about some of the specific techniques that are being proposed for geoengineering, I wanted to talk about this mindset that really believes that we can engineer our way out of any problem, and that's the way to go.
It is an engineering mindset for sure. It's a way of looking at the world that sees a problem and wants to solve it. That's both bad and good. I think what is less examined by those who are in favor of an engineering solution here is what the kind of appropriate engineering is. If we are going to be consciously